This is Black Sheep Radio, WOOL. Thanks for listening and thanks for your support. Without you, none of this is possible.
You're listening to WOOL Black Sheep Radio on 91.5 FM, Sea Realm Radio with KMO.
Hello, Bellows Falls. KMO here with Sea Realm Radio. And the night before last, a couple of UPS guys knocked on my apartment door and handed me an envelope that contained a couple of books. Those books were The Consciousness Papers, 90 Days of Considerations, and Select Wisdom, An Introduction to Key Ideas, directed directly from the texts of The Consciousness Papers, both books by Rob Moore. Rob Moore, who, if the gods of technology are smiling upon us, is on the line right now. Rob, are you there? Hello, Rob Moore. Rob, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. This is the first sound I've heard.
Ah, yes. There is a button that I failed to push earlier. Alrighty. Well, hey, Rob, I just introduced your two books, but with just the titles and your name, The Consciousness Papers, 90 Days of Considerations, and Select Wisdom, An Introduction to Key Ideas. These two books just arrived at my doorstep the night before last. I've had very little time to spend with them. If you don't mind, I'm just going to read what's on the back of The Consciousness Papers, as I think it sets the stage for the conversation.
All right.
How the words in this book found their way to you. For over a year, Rob Moore had been perceiving visually during meditation that a new level of guidance awaited his arrival. Having already been devoted to meditation for most of his adult life, yet maintaining a dependence on cigarettes, it became clear that once he rose beyond that addiction, audible perception with higher guides would follow. Early in 2006, after numerous attempts, Rob at last walked away from smoking and chose the higher level of fulfillment that was clearly within reach. Shortly thereafter, the words you find in these pages begin pouring forth. But the task did not end there. Rob would need to live these words over the next 10 years and come to not only understand them, but to embody these ideas fully. So what I take from that short description is that over the course of years and a practice of meditation and probably some other consciousness exploration techniques, you tapped into a source of information which downloaded a lot of things to you which were not all immediately applicable or accessible. Is that about right?
Right. I mean, the way it came in, I recognized that I was taking down something for the larger world. I recognized that. And I also recognized that this was deep, deep, profound truth, but it just seemed so high in the sky that, you know, it just did not apply to the life I was living. I set out daily I was getting over the course of 2 years, I was receiving, you know, massive amounts of information. And I was asking, the source of information, how can this be? You know, what is the basis on this? You know, I hear you, but I don't see it. And, although I might be explained, the answer might be explained to me verbally, it was ultimately down to living these things. So what The Consciousness Papers is, this book, The Consciousness Papers, 90 Days of Considerations, is giving you are the truths that I have lived. And I just posted a video just yesterday, explaining something that I think is a little bit of a phenomenon, and if you look at the book online, it looks like, and you know, you have it in your hand there, it looks like it's thin and almost unsubstantial, but it is so densely packed with information. I mean, this is why it is formatted as a daily meditative reader, because you really have to get in there and stop and read every line and sort of digest it. It is really some densely packed information in there that asks that you bring your full presence to it. So it's little thin demeanor is very misleading. There's a lot going on in there.
So with a book that seems as though it has come from a source outside or beyond yourself, or at least your mundane, earthly incarnated self, do you edit this at all, or is this something that is delivered to you ready for print and with no edits allowed?
Yeah, no, I was told not only. So here's the thing with all of this. It was Rob Moore was being told these things and being moved and inspired and motivated to live what was being told, while at the same time, the entire world is being told these things. So among the things that I was told repeatedly while taking this information down was, take this, make it your own, use it, do something with it. Don't just use the static format if you have a desire to do something. Grab it, use it, and run with it. So I was told repeat, because I felt it was so sacred that I did not want to touch it. And actually, I didn't. After all is said and done, I didn't touch very much. But I did clarify there were some, it was the way things were worded. This is the thing about this book. You know, anyone who gets it and begins the process, it's worded very deliberately beyond the thinking mind, because it really makes your brain have to put these ideas together, and it really makes an impact. But there were some areas that were just not, they were just simply not helpful in human form. So I did a little, I did a little massaging to smooth out some ideas to make them more recognizable and helpful to anyone trying to digest this. I did some interjecting myself, but I tried overall to preserve what I was given, because at the end of the day, it was so flawlessly done before beyond anything my brain could have put together, that it really didn't need a whole lot of work. There were just some places here and there, and who knows, maybe my brain got in the way in those places that were kind of garbly. Maybe that's, because I'm a human as much as anybody. So that is, in a nutshell, how it worked. It's largely exactly the way it came down, but I've helped it along for the human race.
Who would you say that this book is intended for, and what is it intended to help them do or achieve?
Well, I think as I say in the introduction, this book is for everybody, but everybody isn't going to respond to it at the same time along life's path. So the quick, easy answer to the quick, condensed answer to that question is it is certainly for people like myself, for whom what the world dictates isn't working anymore. What's popular, what everybody's supposed to do, direction you're supposed to head in, what's hip, slick, and cool. When all of that is not working, the reason those things aren't working is it's time to start thinking in a higher vibration. It is time to start living and processing in a new level. So that is the quick answer, is it is for those people for whom things have stopped working. to just expand a little, ultimately, it's for anyone at all who has really intent goals that are challenging, you know, that are challenging to bring into the world. So, you know, someone that already has $1 billion, but has a very a grand vision for a better way for people, but you know it's going to take a lot of shifting of things. This is for someone like that as well. So it really is for everybody with a challenge, whatever station in life they're in.
Very prominent in your description of what this book is about. It involves your personal journey, and seemingly central to that journey is your dependence on cigarettes, your getting off of cigarettes, and the devastating consequences that followed. Here,
yes.
Where are you calling from?
Los Angeles.
So I'm in Vermont. I'm in a literal village in Vermont, one of two villages in a larger town. And here in rural Vermont, we have a big problem with heroin addiction and addiction to other opiate drugs. How central to the developmental program that you have laid out here is the idea of overcoming addiction? And what in particular can you give as a sort of preview to anybody whose ears might prick up at that?
Okay. Well, this is something this very question is one I have been bouncing around myself. I come from a 12-step background that is actually getting very, very early on. I mean, I just got out of college and crashed and burned bad, and went into AA. So at 24 years old, I was fervently working the steps of AA. And that, what I bounce around about the consciousness papers in connection with that is that 24-year-old kid could not have, would not have, that particular 24-year-old kid would not have taken this information properly. That said, everyone has a different path, and everyone, and also, we have evolved. This is part of the reason for the consciousness papers, is we've all evolved quite a bit, just in a short amount of time. So, I'm very quick to say, who am I to say that someone who is in a corner with DTs could not find the exact answer they need to rise above it in these pages? I know that they could, as a matter of fact. The line where my hesitation comes in is there is what this book assumes is that you are entirely ready. You are entirely dedicated. You are living a life where you are seeking to go to the next level. It just sort of assumes that this is where you are in life. You are actively seeking to get to a better place. This is why this quest to get to the next level, that is the only reason I quit smoking. You know, I didn't get this material until after I quit. So it was the way this came down for me. I'm going to circle back around to people in sobriety in just a minute, but the way this came down for me was that I had meditated for years and smoked because I freaking loved smoking. My God, how I loved every last cigarette. I mean, I offered thanks for cigarettes because I thought they were the most wonderful things in the universe. And so I got to, you know, these high levels of perception even while smoking, and I was presented this image. You know, I was perceiving visually during the smoking years, and it came down to this guide that was trying to tell me something. You know, every time I would come into meditation, I would see this same individual, and he's trying to tell me something verbally. I'm like, what? I just couldn't understand. Well, it was finally, however it was done, I was never told, stop smoking and you'll get it. I was never told that. It was just made clear to me, something is standing in our way, and until it goes away, you're not going to hear me. And I figured out that it was smoking. And this was the only reason that I put cigarettes out, because I wanted so much to get to the next level. So I really didn't want to quit. I wasn't like, oh, let's get healthy. No. I wanted so much to get to that next level that this was at long last the impetus that I needed. It was the ending the addiction that led me to this new level. But I wouldn't be at that level at all if I hadn't been in AA, most dedicated for, from 24 years old, for 5 years, I dedicated myself completely and just really took every one of those steps. And when I got to step 12, for me, it was moving on to other areas of bringing words to people. That was just my personal path. It was no longer just central to AA. This is about bringing more stuff to more people. So that was my personal path. So, you know, that is why I say that anyone, certainly anyone who is familiar with trying to, you know, giving their all to the aim of recovery, and certainly anyone who has taken, in their heart of hearts, taken the third step, you know, really, truly willing, able, intent on giving their will to something greater than themselves, then at that point, I feel most confident in handing this book to a sober person, or a person in sobriety, aiming ever higher for sobriety, to get them to a level of deep contentment they may have thought they never had.
Bill Wilson, the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, was a big proponent of using LSD as a means of opening up new channels of awareness, although the other higher-ups in the group persuaded him not to include that in any official AA materials. Have psychedelic compounds been any portion of your journey?
No. I smoked pot. You know, I tried to smoke pot quite a few times from high school on into early adulthood, and I just sit there and look at the corner and can't move, and it's not a happy journey for me. So that's as far as I ever went with any kind of drugs. Drugs were not part of my thing. And then drinking, I was a hardcore blackout drinker. You know, it was either don't drink at all, or we're going to drink and blackout within 3 hours. And I would get in the car and create havoc. The psychedelic thing, you know, the people who for whom that is appealing or gives them something, you know, they've certainly been in the periphery of my life. And whereas early, you know, certainly sitting in AA room years, I would have judged harshly against them, but I don't do that anymore. It's whatever works for you. And this is something that, although it wasn't part of my path, but this is something that is repeatedly said, it's an idea that is stated over and over in many, many ways in the consciousness papers. And that is, do the thing that is drawing you, whatever it is that you feel a need to do. Again, one more time, I say, you know, this assumes that you have a mindset and an ultimate goal of rising higher. That goal in place, whatever you feel moved to do, no matter what the public says, no matter what popular opinion is, it is your thing to do or experiment with or get clear on it. You are being drawn that way for some reason, so find out what it is. That's one of the things that is said over and over and over. For me, for my personal journey, this was more about sexual exploration. It was like, just stop holding back, just go do it, just go. You know, you're not helping yourself by stopping. And this is, in terms of sobriety, this is something that that I would see and just hated seeing. And that was, people that were not, they just were absolutely not done drinking. And they just kept trying to make those 30 days happen. It's like, oh my, my personal heart was saying, would you just go drink and enjoy it and then come back when you're done? I mean, that was always what my heart was screaming. And so much, so much of what the consciousness papers says, or is steering toward is, don't hold yourself back from experiences that are vital for your growth. And you know in your heart what that is. You know when it's growth and when it's a life path thing, and you know when it's manipulating the process. So let's get real about that too. So anyway, I may have strayed from your original question. But.
Oh, that's all right. My job here is just to ask questions that get you talking. I've never been to an AA meeting myself, but I imagine that just go drink already is probably discouraged. It's not something that the organizers would encourage you to say to other participants.
No, not at all. Yeah. And I never did say that in a room. But it was just, that was my thing with smoking. I was like, I'm going to, and that's why, I was very, I was always the odd man out. This guy that smokes, meditates, and claims to have all these experiences. Everyone was just in the higher self community was just always on my back to quit smoking. And, it was just my position, that, I'm just not doing it. I'm just not putting myself through that ringer until every fiber in my being is done. Because I can tell you right now, I'm not done with it. So anyway, that's where that comes from. That is truly, that is truly something that, that resonates, that always has resonated with me. That is not true with everything that's in the consciousness papers. That was why it took 10 years. There's so many things that were very counter to what I believed in my heart of hearts. And that's why it took so many years. I had to undergo some transformations and begin to see things in a different way. So just to be clear, every single thing that is in the consciousness papers was not an ideal that I carried with me prior. Actually, quite to the contrary.
Let me read something from early in the book. You wrote, "I've never wanted to be so damn spiritual I'm no earthly good, nor have I desired the inverse of that. Nevertheless, it has become overwhelmingly clear that among my greatest life goals is to manifest the improbable. This includes creative or design projects, relationships, or ways of getting from A to B. And if you ponder how to achieve the improbable for long enough, it also becomes overwhelmingly clear that spirituality or metaphysics has to be a part of the plan." What do you mean by spirituality or metaphysics?
I mean that if what this is what I meant by, even if you have $1 billion in the bank and you have a grand vision for uplifting humanity in some way, you can't just plug in a formula and make that happen. Your billions are not going to help you. It requires a level beyond the brain, beyond our brains. And this is, part of what really escalated my process with this information was seeing firsthand, I came to a point with levels of connecting that I began to see firsthand how someone clear across the country that I had like an internet connection with, but not a personal deep connection with. Someone clear across the country was basically answering my inquiries in detail, which I had just basically offered in a meditative state. I had offered my intentions, my visions, what I was hoping to achieve, and I began to get answers from people outside my immediate circle that had not heard me ask these things. So I began to see firsthand how, there is a level beyond anything the brain can do, and it's a level beyond feeling the vibe of somebody who's sitting next to you. I mean, there is a level that is ready and willing and just ready to get down to work that connects us all. And again, it's beyond anything you can feel. It's become commonplace to be accepting of, feeling the vibe from somebody. It's way, way, way beyond that. So when I began to see these connections in tangible form, I went to design school and, I would create designs and, damn it, I went to Art Center in Pasadena for car design. That's what my original thing was. And, GM would come out with the same design almost to a T 5 years later. And this and other things that I would creatively do, I would find someone else did almost to the exact T later. And I thought it was just coincidence. But when I finally began having interactions with individuals that I knew from a distance, then I began to see that there is a level of consciousness at work, ready to get in there and help us do what we need to do. And it requires stopping, moving beyond the thinking brain and tapping into it. And that's what this book is all about.
You are listening to Sea Realm Radio on Black Sheep Radio, WOOL 91.5 FM. I'm your host, KMO, and I am speaking with the author of The Consciousness Papers, Rob Moore. Rob, Bob, early in the book, you mentioned that you've had a longstanding fascination with both astrology and numerology. Do those still present you with a compelling way of looking at the world?
Yes, it's I still use those as tools. Extremely recently. I have been sort of in the last, what I consider to be one of the last legs of living above astrology. What astrology does for me today is it confirms that what's happening is right on time. That's how it helps me more than anything. What I already did 3 hours ago, astrology helps me confirm, okay, we're in sync with the natural rhythm of things here. Very good. Good to see. Love it. But, you know, in years prior, I don't think it would surprise anyone that someone who created a book of this variety, that I have a most challenging chart, a most challenging personal labyrinth to navigate here. So, you know, when I first began tapping into astrology, you know, reading horoscopes and whatnot, you know, they just did not reflect in what I was experiencing. You know, and I would always think, well, you know, I'm just like the one that it doesn't work for. But you know, as I continue to study it, anything that draws me, you know, is intended to be a tool, then I want to get deeper in there and really understand what's going on. So I had deep interest in sticking with it and getting clear about all of this. And, you know, part of what I discovered was, with, you know, like horoscopes not adding up to my personal situation, was that I was indeed so out of sync with what was going on. I was so in my head about things, or so emotionally reacting to things, you know, one or the other, that I truly was not in sync with the larger consciousness. I was in my own little world and couldn't find my way out. It was only until I began embodying the work, the ideas that you find in the consciousness papers, that I began to see that events in my life were coinciding with astrology, and they were coinciding with others out in the world, and they were at long last coinciding with a natural rhythm of things. And it took a long time to begin seeing that. Now, numerology, it was a little more, you know, numerology is based on the calendar that we use. Astrology is based on, you know, far more out there rhythms, but the numerology being based on the calendar that we use, I was more able to see right away how it applied. And actually, my first exposure to numerology was directly from the hands of Louise Hay. I had gone to her office in an attempt to do some work for her.
I don't know who that is, and I imagine many listeners don't either.
Oh, okay. Wow. Louise Hay is, she's probably the pioneer of the love yourself movement. that began being born in the 80s. She has basically built an empire around loving yourself. So I think if you just type in love yourself on Google, probably Louise Hay will be on that first page somewhere. she was the pioneer of the love yourself movement. So now she has Hay House that's her books and many authors, come out of Hay House. My book, is in conjunction with Hay House. Although Louise Hay doesn't know who I am these days, anyway, that's who that is. She began the my body is perfect just as it is. I love myself just as I am movement.
Let me interrupt you for just a second. I'll encourage you to continue your story in a moment, but, you probably didn't know this. I didn't know this until I tried the search, but, Justin Bieber has a song called Love Yourself. So if you just Google Love Yourself, you're going to get a page full of Justin Bieber.
Okay. Good to know. So yeah,
but please continue.
I didn't know he had that. I don't pay attention to what he releases anymore. I did for a while. But anyway, this woman gave me this tiny little book that indicated this was in 1990. It was a numerologically based book, and it indicated why I was having such a rough time in that particular year. I had an interview with her because I was trying to get work, but I didn't want to work. Nothing in me wanted to get out there and do any of this stuff, and it was not like me. I generally have not had trouble finding some kind of motivation from within, and I just didn't have it. And what that numerology of my personal year was saying was it is a year to sit back and do nothing and let some things come into place. You're not going to have any success out in the world right now if you try to start it because it's just not time. And I was like, oh, wow. Well, thank you. Phew. I can lay back and relax then because this makes some sense. So early on, numerology started making some sense to me. And, you know, the only thing with that as well as astrology is when you begin living in higher and higher levels, or at least being able to relate to what's happening from much, much higher levels, it really takes some reinterpreting of the idea being portrayed in a numerological reading or a horoscope. You really have to get in there and see the thread of commonality of what's going on. It's in there, but when you're living from a much higher level, it becomes almost a task sometimes. So more and more and more, as time goes on, I'm not leaning on these tools like I did just a few years ago.
Are you a Rick and Morty fan?
I must return the comment. I don't know who that is.
Rick and Morty is an animated TV show. It's about a brilliant scientist who's... well, he's a mess, but he's brilliant, and he can travel interdimensionally with a portal gun that he has, and he takes his grandson Morty along for adventures, and it's a very densely written, very funny show. And there's an episode where Rick, in order to get out of going to therapy, turns himself into a pickle, ends up getting flushed into the sewers, and with nothing but his brain and his pickled tongue, he kills some rats and takes control of their bodies, takes their bodies apart, builds himself sort of cybernetic limbs out of rat muscle and bone and little pieces of junk that he found in the sewer, goes on an adventure, and eventually ends up at the therapist's office sitting on the couch with his family and the therapist, who is unfazed by the appearance of this this old man who is actually a pickle with rat limbs, who has showed up to express his skepticism about the utility of therapy. And I just want to play a 1 minute and 22 second clip from that. This is Rick as a pickle on the couch at the therapist's office, and the therapist, played by, oh gosh, what is her name? Well, never mind. Maybe you'll recognize the voice, and I'll come up with the name as we listen. But here's the therapist speech from Rick and Morty.
I'm not a cow. I'm a pickle when I feel like it. So you asked.
Rick, the only connection between your unquestionable intelligence and the sickness destroying your family is that everyone in your family, you included, use intelligence to justify sickness. You seem to alternate between viewing your own mind as an unstoppable force and as an inescapable curse. And I think it's because the only truly unapproachable concept for you is that it's your mind within your control. You chose to come here, you chose to talk, to belittle my vocation, just as you chose to become a pickle. You are the master of your universe, and yet you are dripping with rat blood and feces, your enormous mind literally vegetating by your own hand. I have no doubt that you would be bored senseless by therapy, the same way I'm bored when I brush my teeth and wipe my ass. Because the thing about repairing, maintaining, and cleaning is, it's not an adventure. There's no way to do it so wrong you might die. It's just work. And the bottom line is, some people are okay going to work, and some people, well, some people would rather die. Each of us gets to choose. That's our time. I'm going to give you guys my card and hope to hear from you again. And if you have any friends or family that eat poop and would like to stop, give them my number.
All right. So that was Dr. Wong counseling Rick Sanchez on Rick and Morty. And what you had said about doing work and not really wanting to do the work is what reminded me there of that that bit from Rick and Morty.
Yeah. I recognized the similarity there. So who's the female voice? Did you think of it?
I know who she is. I'm just Susan Sarandon. That's her name.
Oh, okay. I would not have got. I knew I loved that voice, but I wouldn't have thought it was Susan. Okay, very good.
Well, I hope you'll check out Rick and Morty.
Yeah, that sounds deep. Is it always that deep?
No, not always. But it's always that smart. But it's not always that cutting.
But
Rick is a very smart guy, but he's got a lot of unresolved issues. He's an alcoholic for sure. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he does basically put everybody around him through the ringer in order to avoid doing any sort of self-work.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, now what you just said, he's very, you know, he's very intelligent. That tends to be, you know, the common thread between, you know, among people who have addiction issues. You know, there's so much intelligence going on there. It's just too much. it's just too much to take. So that's why. Furthermore, why it requires moving beyond that thinking mind to something else, because there's just too much braininess going on there.
It can get in the way, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me invite you to say more about your book and maybe say anything you care to about experiences that you had involving feedback from people who have not only read the book, but, you know, done the daily readings and considerations that are in the title.
Well, this has basically just been released. I really haven't gotten any feedback from someone who's done the 90 days yet. It hadn't even been 90 days since it's been released. But I am, here's what I want to relate here. When I first began getting this information, I knew in my bones, in every cell in my being, that this was like huge. This was huge stuff going on. And I could not get anyone to discuss it with me. I mean, no one would talk. I even lost my best friend over it, who was incidentally likewise downloading information of her own, but couldn't trust it, or she thought she was crazy or something. I don't know what the deal was. She wouldn't talk about it. Don't know. But as with her, as with everyone, I could not get anyone to discuss this with me. So I really became an island with this information. I imagine you've gotten at this by this point that I am a loudmouth and I have strong opinions and I need to talk, and I couldn't. And that changed my way of living a great bit, because I had to just find a way to embody this on my own, content in the process that I was undergoing, without validation from other people. Now, after I did indeed embody this, I have since I began bringing this out into the light for people to discover, I do get great response from people. You know, I post lines from Select Wisdom. Let me just sort of make the detour over here to Select Wisdom. What's the separate book Select Wisdom is I have taken key ideas that, you know, this information was so dense. You know, this, I go back to the book being thin. That's because it's so densely packed with information, it'll make your head spin. So there were things that I could identify, you know, that I'm like, okay, now I'm seeing this happen in my life. I recognize this as tangible truth. So I pulled it out. You know, I would pull out these things that just seemed to really highlight what was being said here better than anything. And so page after page after page in Select Wisdom is just one single powerful idea on its own. I needed to see things that way. Basically, what I have done in the separate book, Select Wisdom, is share with you the way that I digested this material and the ideas that I digested on their own in order to be able to wholeheartedly read and apply everything on every page of the consciousness papers. So I post online and various places. I've given some books out as well, of the Select Wisdom book. And, finally, at long last, I'm seeing people enthusiastically respond to what is being said. They are enthusiastically agreeing with things that 10 years ago would make people turn and run from me. So that's all I know. You know, I think it has a bit to do with my own personal process and a bit to do with a rapid consciousness shift that has taken place over the last, at least the last couple of decades. I just think the more time goes on, the more rapidly we're evolving, I think is the way it is, personally. And I think it's a little bit of my process as well as everybody else's. So I am seeing, great confirmation out in the world that people recognize what's being said here as uplifting and inspiring and deep, deep truth. And I didn't see that before.
Well, I have been interested in matters of consciousness for, I guess, my whole life. And in my late teens and early 20s, it took a turn for what would now be considered the New Age. And I have encountered in many places the idea that while it looks like the planet is going through crisis and individuals are going through crisis and calamity is near, that the universe is unfolding as it should, that everything is proceeding apace, that everything is happening as it is supposed to happen. And I know that a lot of people take offense at that because like the show that precedes this one is called Radio EcoShock, and it is a weekly radio program and podcast, which is devoted to getting scientists on, climate scientists and other activists, to talk about the mass extinction that is underway right now and the potential and quite likely consequences of, you know, rising seas and warming temperatures. What do you say to people who are really offended at the idea that, you know, everything is proceeding as it should?
Well, I wholeheartedly, enthusiastically agree with what you're saying, because I believe that as well. I was actually, in terms of the consciousness papers, the way I began taking this information down originally was typing it out. Then it became so much that I had to, I was advised actually by an astrologer I went to go see to record it audibly as I got it, which was a whole talent I had to develop. So I began recording this audibly, and one of the things that I, one of the sessions that I recorded was distinctly about climate, and that, you know, the basic message was that it is a process that is taking care of itself. It is currently being taken care of right now. So relax about that, and let's move on to things of a higher nature. As high as that may seem, let's move on to things that are even higher in nature. So that was the essence of that that particular session. And you won't find that in the consciousness papers. Another little aside here, you know, I want to reiterate that what I have presented in this book are things that I have completely, wholeheartedly, and fully digested and reflect in my day-to-day life. And then there are many, many concepts that came down the pike that I have yet to personally confirm. So those hopefully will be released at a later time. But, you know, like this climate thing, I agree with that statement personally, but I can't point to something to validate that quite yet. So anyway, as with climate, so with, you know, like I am the least political person in the world. I believe the whole system needs to be turned upside down and just start over. But nevertheless, I believe wholeheartedly that the craziness that appears to be happening on the world stage is perfect chaos that is reorganizing itself in a way that is going to ultimately be helpful, as much as a nightmare as it can be. You know, and this, that, you know, if you look at like the digital age, you know, it's been, for me personally, it's been a freaking nightmare living through all these changes to get to where we are with you know, digitizing everything. You know, it started over here in this meager little corner, and, you know, everything just changes and changes and keeps changing and just keeps, you know, but you look back and it's like, you know, actually that is a lot more efficient than it was. So I'm just quick to see how, you know, maybe it's not what I personally want to experience right now, but it is ultimately helping a much, 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 much larger process to unfold. That's the way I see it.
Well, Rob, we need to wrap up in the next minute or so. I have some public service announcements that I need to share in the final moments of the hour. But again, for the listeners, I've been talking with Rob Moore. He's the author of a book called The Consciousness Papers, 90 Days of Considerations, and a companion book called Select Wisdom, An Introduction to Key Ideas. And your website is theconsciousnesspapers.com. That makes sense. You're lucky to get that URL. Is there anything else that you'd like to say just in conclusion to the listeners?
I think we've pretty much covered it all. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to your listeners. I personally, you know, based on what I've learned about your cast here is, you know, these are the people that I had in mind I would talk to in the first place. So I feel really honored and happy to have had this chance today.
Well, thank you for saying that. And thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Stay well. All righty. That was Rob Moore. And as I mentioned, I have a couple of things to share with you, the local listening audience. All right. Well, we've got just about a minute left here on Black Sheep Radio, so I will extend the usual invitations to folks. Well, Black Sheep Radio will continue all day. It is Sea Realm Radio that is ending within a minute's time. There is a Facebook group where people can go and congregate and meet each other and discuss the ideas that are on the radio show and the podcast. So on Facebook, if you just search for Sea Realm, that's the letter C and then a dash and then R-E-A-L-M, Sea Realm, you'll probably find it. But if you need a longer search string, it's Friends of the Sea Realm. Also, you can find a link to that community from my website. It is, of course, crealm.com, and you can contact me via email. My email address is kmo@crealm.com. Again, that's a C and then a dash and then R-E-A-L-M. All right. Well, we have just a few seconds left, so there is not time for me to launch into any sort of impromptu rant on some random topic. So I will just take the next 6 seconds and say thank you very much for listening. I appreciate that you're there, even though I don't hear back from you all the time. And stay well.